Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Welcome to Party Friday, Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. So we are pleased to have with us, it's been a while, help us figure out what Republicans did right, what Democrats did wrong, although we don't want them to figure that out. The man Chuck calls sort of Soros. Democrats strategist Ted Trimpa. Hey, Ted.
Ted, what have you been up to? Great to see you.
Yeah, I know. It's been a while. It's great to see you guys.
Yeah, good to see you too. So are you changing your party affiliation now, or is it Raj?
Of course not. You guys were in the forest for all those years. Why shouldn't we?
There you go. Well, I want to ask you about something here in Colorado. Then we'll get into the broader thing. What is Jared Polis doing? First, he loves RFK.
He hates RFK.
So now he's not. It's like, why did he even go there? What is he thinking?
You've got me. I was just surprised as you. I get where RFK's coming from. I disagree with him. Keeping in mind, Jared's an entrepreneur, then market disruptor, then Democrat. So he's more of a market disruptor than Democrat. So I could see him saying we need to disrupt things. But it was surprising that he sent out what he did to someone. And I know RFK says he's not an anti-vaxxer.
Right.
He said some crazy things about vaccines. And in fact, he said we're going to start taking fluoride out of water.
What was Polis's claim that he was?
He helped fight to get Colorado out of COVID lockdown. It's like you're the one who put us in COVID lockdown.
Oh no! Come on!
He loosened up sooner than some did.
The very first Democrat. Open up a state during COVID with the crazy.
But it left us all.
Was Jared? No, it was Jared.
All the local ones kept it up. So we were just as locked down.
I can't control local folks being a little nutty. The governor said you can open up. So
here's what I want to ask you.
Don't you guys like local control? So the governor says the locals can do what they want.
All right, there you go. Yeah.
You like socialism until it doesn't help you.
That's right.
We like socialism.
So how much it has now? We have had fun. I mean, not only did Trump win, but it seems like, you got to stay on Twitter constantly anymore because every day just when you think he's done something out of the, let's say,
mainstream,
but we got Pete, whatever his name is, right?
He's very nice, by the way. He's very, very nice.
Oh, that's right. You probably know him. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a good friend of Rush's.
But everybody's exploding about that. But before they could even get their heads around,
he drops some Moab, the mother of all bombs.
Matt Gaetz.
And then after that, he's got Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Tulsi Gabbard. I mean, the hits keep coming.
We just need Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, they would nominate Rudy if he just had like that little streak of white in his hair.
Tulsi Gabbard. He's in bankruptcy. You guys have persecuted him. With these phony definition suits, but and you can't even get dye for the hair.
Democrats get that every time they scream again about whatever it is that Trump's doing, it's like they forgot that he was elected and won
by a majority vote.
Yeah, exactly. By a way majority vote, by bigger than any Republican in a long time.
By any Republican in a long time, because you guys haven't won a majority vote in 5 years.
Ted,
of course, you won. I'll give you that. But don't say why.
But still, it's like, do they think? Well, let me just ask you.
Let's let him give his autopsy. And you guys, Ted was on with Peter, and had a whole great one. Everybody got a lot of compliments. They loved.
And you had a great column in the Denver Post too. So you're autopsy here.
You're back.
yeah, So, no, I think it's bottom, I mean, a couple things. One, Democrats lost touch with the working class. And that is just like a broad brush. I think it's much, much deeper than that. And I think the Democrats have lost the sense of connecting with the soul of America. I mean, it's the reason why you're seeing Latinos, particularly men, going Trump's way. You see black men going Trump's way. Working class, if you have a Trump flag on your F-350 or you have a Trump van sign in your front yard, the liberals that are running around in their EVs are going to look at you and look down at you. And that's wrong. And I tell you, Democrats, we have to own that. When you what I found offensive maybe is too strong of a word, but it really made my head tilt. It's like, okay, so here I am, a self not self-anointed, but party-anointed candidate for president. And we can talk about how all that happened, whether it was right, wrong, what that means. But I'm going to tell you, I'm for the working class. You know how I know I'm for the working class? I'm going to help you with your first down payment on a house. Well, you know what? These people want to fucking pay rent. They want to buy a dozen eggs. They want to be able to get milk. It's nice that you're willing to help me with a down payment on a house when houses, average price are absolutely so ridiculous. Why don't we talk about getting affordable housing? Why don't we talk about helping me with rent? We're just so out of touch. And it's our own fault. And part of the reason why we're out of touch is that the party is split. You have the Ocasio-Cortez's folks going down this crazy ass path that they're doing. And then other Democrats are kind of wandering around trying to figure out what they want to do. And we're missing the middle class.
I also think, I remember talking with you about this when Kamala ran the first time around when Joe Biden was elected, and you were
You
agreeing.
loved her or you
You
hated her. Loved her or
loved
you
her. Yeah,
hated her.
I know,
she
I
was
know,
a terrible
I know.
candidate, which is
And then a
why she's
good
dropping
candidate.
out. It depended on which date. That's when I really liked. When
But she
we tied, I
was
didn't like her.
an awful candidate. I mean, she was just a bad.
When did you realize she'd suffered through a prefrontal
I don't know if
lobotomy
I go that far, but
at some time in her? Not too far off. I come from a middle class something. Well, let me ask you this,
did Joe Biden set that up, do you think? Did he undercut
he
the
performed the
Obamas? I mean, because he
pre
seems very happy
He
lately, Joe
does.
Biden. And I mean, did he? I mean, you read that, and you're a Democrat insider, and I don't know if Joe called you before he did that or something, but
No.
your take on how that went down.
Oh, I did. One, he should have never run for re-election. The fact he wanted to run for re-election was totally him. It may have been Jill part of that. I don't know. Definitely the consultants around him, for some odd reason, didn't realize the emperor had no clothes and said, no, you can do it. I think a lot of that was just driven by his stubbornness. And then they finally had to convince him to get out. And the only way you could convince him to get out was you're going to hurt everybody else. If you look about, look how you're going to pull down Democrats in states. So you need to get out. And he, I mean, I think very reluctantly did it. That was Ricchetti. It was on the weekend. It was on a Sunday. That letter came out. No one knew. Jennifer Dillon, who was his campaign manager, had no clue that this was coming. You know,
Whoa.
wakes up. Yeah, wakes up in the morning. I'm like, oh, great. I'm reading in the paper that the candidate that I'm his campaign manager for has now decided not to run. And then you have this mad dash within the party as to what to do. So this is happening after a June debate that was a total disaster. You have a convention that's coming up. And so then you have a question. Are you going to go into the convention and basically have an old-time convention where you actually fight this stuff out and you have votes and you have the wheeling and dealing, or you try to seal it up so that you make the, convention as a coronation, which is what conventions have become. And they decide to do that, and everybody just had to go along. What are you going to do? You're going to be the 10 people that are going to say no? You're going to be the Bernie Sanders taking your cane out and banging your chair? I mean, I mean, because I went to the convention, it was great. The energy was great, but it was over orchestrated.
What, and then, I mean, the hits keep coming, for she pays Oprah $1 million. She pays Megan Thee Stallion $5 million. I mean, she only gets those
I
rich
didn't know that.
slivers.
Really? They paid him money?
Yeah,
No, seriously,
Seriously,
I
you've been
didn't
to
know
read
that.
that?
I didn't know
Oh,
that.
yeah. Oh, and then it's becoming, oh, you need to read the Daily Mail more and the New York Post. No, but I mean, so the Washington Examiner, I think, got their hands on Kamala's
Expenditures.
expenditures, right? And they paid Oprah $1 million. Well, then Oprah says, oh, I didn't take any money. And it's like, okay, they paid your company $1 million. They paid her $1 million
That's
for
nice.
what? That was for her costs. And it's like, you didn't have any costs. You walked on the stage, you know? And
Well, but you know, if you fly in a plane and you're picked up in a
well,
Bentley and
yeah,
somebody brings you caviar
that's true.
and you
Let
have
me ask you.
nine friends that have come along and
Oh,
maybe
that's true. Your entourage, that
food.
can, that adds up. I wanted to ask you about this too, because I think, you know, for folks don't know, Ted is married to Arash Mosala, who is one of the top producers for the Greg Gutfeld show, which is
Super
oh,
show.
it's kicking butt all over the place. One of the things I think that I've said and other people have said too is, besides Kamala and the Democrat Party, biggest loser in all of this is sort of the legacy media. And I think you have sort of a firsthand view through Arash of like why Gutfeld is so, you know, important. How do you think that this, I think this significantly and probably forever shifted the media landscape and how Democrats get their narrative out? What do you think?
Well, Gutfeld's successful because people like reading me. Don't you
Enough.
think? I'm kidding. To some people, it's actually funny. No, I do think, though, on the, well, we could say that there's been a turn on legacy media. I would be hesitant to say that, not because I'm trying to defend them. I'm just trying to speak to what I see as reality. And it is they have so much power and so much reach that they're going to talk their way out of it. They're going to explain their way out of it. It was like a total wake when you watch MSNBC after Trump was clear
Right.
Trump was going to win.
Right.
I don't think there's going to be this shift that, oh, epiphany, we all now know that most of media has a liberal bias.
Yeah.
That's not going to make anybody change any differently. I mean, I think it solidifies Fox's viewership.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see what it does with Newsmax. You know, some of the folks that are to the right of Fox, I actually don't think it's going to pick up for them because Fox has really figured out the formula. So
Right.
anyway, bottom line, I don't think it's shifted the landscape. I really don't.
Okay. What about in terms of then, let me ask, if you're a Democrat strategist, so I think everybody who's being honest, the Democrats, say, yeah, you pretty much lost touch with the American people, particularly the
Yeah,
middle
that's kind of
class.
like duh. That's kind of like
Duh,
duh.
right. How do you, I mean, it's kind of like in the TV world when you were watching one channel and you started to hate it, so you started watching another channel. You're not really paying attention to the first channel anymore. I mean, how do you,
Right.
I mean, number one, do you think the party is going to be willing to change? Because from some of the stuff I'm seeing, they're like, no, they're bound
Well,
with Trump and you keep lecturing
let me
us.
ask you in relation to there was some show and the Democrat strategy. We got to get rid of this woke deal. We just got to get rid of the woke deal. That's
No, I
just.
agree with that. Yeah.
And then the other guy said, you know, it's as if you walked into your oncologist's office and he said, you're dying from cancer. And they're, oh my God, what can we do? And then the doctor does all the tests. He said, ah, never mind. It's so metastasized that your whole body's infected by it. You're never going to recover from it. It has become part of you and you're going to die from it. I mean, DEI, everything else, you know.
No. Okay, so I don't think it's like cancer and it's metastasized and gone all throughout the body and everybody's going to die. You
How would
know,
you
I
describe it?
do, no. I do think, and I think I have to be careful that we don't do this linear because of DEI and wokeism and this obsession with acronyms is the reason why that we're at where we are today. We're at where we are today. It's because we're, and I really, my op-ed says this, we're not in touch with the soul of America. And I realize that sounds kind of amorphous, but when you think about the people that you talk to that are Trump supporters, MAGA supporters, kind of just like that spectrum, that is like the soul of America. And then you overlay that with the campaign and messages. And a lot of that just didn't align. Now, do I think a contributing factor to the situation that we're in terms of loss of the soul of America, is the DEI obsession and is the wokeism? Absolutely. Do I think it is a, it, this causes that? No.
Or the one is a symptom, not the cause, so to speak.
Right. Well, it's a cause, but it's just one of many.
What about, so you're a strategist again, you've run campaigns.
So how about another good one, which is really the tranny obsession for children. You know, that did not go well.
Come on, tranny.
Come on, what?
Are you using the word tranny?
You're not allowed. That's no longer allowed.
No. Tranny refers to transmission in a car.
I love you.
I love you. We've been friends for a number of years.
Yeah.
The term tranny is kind of a term of art for transvestite. Transvestite is a male that likes to dress up as women, but is still straight. A transgender person, not transgendered, I'm not gayed, I'm gay. A transgender person is someone who I identify with. I'm biologically this sex. For example, I'm male. I identify as a female. That's transgender. That's not tranny.
See, that's the problem with you guys. You lecture everybody. You use the term wrong. This is that. You're killing them. You're killing your own side.
Tranny is if you put on a dress, Chuck.
I'd look great in a dress, but nonetheless,
it
is what the populace pretty soon. And even if tranny meant a transvestite at one time, now it means transsexuals. Who have trouble deciding whether they have sexual dysmorphia?
Well, transsexual is not even a
word either.
Could you
write down the list of words that ordinary people are allowed to say to Democrats?
Elections, so we don't have to worry about.
Yeah.
At least I'm not arguing with you about acronyms.
No, that's true. We're not doing that. I want to ask you though, because one of the things, again, I just thought. Watching, you could just tell Kamala was getting worse and worse. What did you think when you saw Trump at the McDonald's? Just from a campaign point of view, not from a I hate Trump point of view, but just from a, I mean, I looked at that and I said, that is brilliant.
That's brilliant.
No, so when I saw it, it was dun, da, da, dun, da, da. It was like the funeral march.
Seriously, it was
a stroke. It's like when Trump showed up in the garbage truck.
Right.
That was, and I have to tell you, that idea, the idea of Trump doing the garbage truck, came from Gutfeld, from Greg.
Really?
Greg called Trump because they talk on the phone all the time.
Oh, wow.
And said, hey, by the way, your next event, what you should do is you should show up in a trash truck with the little vest thing. It was absolutely stroke of brilliance.
Oh, it was.
And then he goes to a campaign event and then really endeared himself to everybody. He said, I'm going to keep wearing this because everybody tells me I look thinner. Do you think I look thinner?
You're going to wear one, Chuck? You're going to wear one?
I couldn't be any thinner. I'm almost, you know, down to the last pound or so. I've got my body.
Oh, is this Ozempic? Are you doing Ozempic?
Yeah. Ozempic. There you go.
I did Ozempic. I lost 15 pounds.
Really?
Chuck did it. He lost weight too, but then he was so sick.
Yeah, I was so sick. I died, but I lost some weight.
So do the Democrats, I mean, again, from what I see, a lot of them seem to be trying to convince us that we are still stupid and wrong. And if they just shouted us enough.
Read all the op-eds that they're doing. There was one, if only Kamala had stuck with joy.
Yeah.
If he had stuck with joy, then she would have won. She went to fear. Now, I agree with the fear part because they're fear mongering. It's the end of the world. Oh, my God. Trump is going to lock us all up. And, you know, I'm horrified about things that he could possibly do. But I'm not going to lie awake at work, you know, at night.
Yeah.
Half the country voted for him. We all have got to get over it. But this idea that it was lack of joy.
Yeah.
The idea that it wasn't quite this message or that message. Or Democrats didn't come out enough. You know, for me, it comes back to what I wrote about, and that is soul of America. We literally have lost touch with them.
That's right.
The idea, the working class is somebody who hands us, you know, our little bacon wrapped scallops on a platter.
Yes.
All
Let
right, no. I know. Be quiet. Now, we all know you're married and happily married to Arash and so forth, but we've got one long-term caller who you remember still wants to see if he can get a date with you. And
Oh, sure.
okay, Bernie, come on.
Oh, Bernie, oh my God.
Dad, you know
Bernie, come
what?
on.
I really want to say what Dan Aykroyd used to say to Jane Gurdon, but I'm not going to do that to you, Dad.
Oh no, go ahead. Oh
No,
no,
no.
listen,
Okay, you ignorant
I know
slut.
the line.
Shut up.
I know the line.
Okay, Ted, now listen. I'm going to go back 4 years. When we were sitting here listening to your crap, you told us that, oh, it's going to swing the other way. You can't listen. I don't watch usually. I usually listen. And I could hear it in your voice that you were full of crap and you knew shenanigans went on. And I just, you know, hang on a minute. Just keep me on. Chuck brought up to your, oh, by the way, I'm Chuck and Julie's friend killer. It sounds like you've got thicker skin than their other friends.
Oh,
And you are just as full of crap, but that's okay. But for some
I'm
reason,
on
I can't
Ozempic.
hate
I haven't taken a dump in like 2 months.
Well, hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. One thing I would say to you, okay, George Clooney, I think clearly does have woman genitalia. You can tell him what to do. You can tell white dudes with vaginas what to do. But when your Lord and Savior come out, Obama, and tells black men, you guys are going to vote for this. Ted, I don't know a single grown man that would listen to another grown man tell him what to do. Somebody, and the nice thing about this is your Lord and Savior, he's gone. There's not going to be any more Obama crap. I think we're going to be locked solid for 8 years, whether you like it or not. We're going to have Trump, and we're going to get at least four events, and maybe eight. But you guys, you've lost the soul in the sense that
Well,
you guys think you're so damn important, and you think you're so damn you know these. Look it, I listen to. Oh, by the way, you brought up RFK. You're going to talk about RFK? We know who is in charge of HSS or HSS right now, Admiral Levine. And I'm not going to call him a woman. I don't care what anybody says. He's a dude, period. And, you know, Chuck was saying tranny. What about transformer? What difference does it make? It's not right. And it certainly isn't right when you put grown
I don't know, Barney, if this is a
men.
great. Wait a minute. I don't know if this is a great way to ask for a date. It just doesn't seem to have a great
Hey,
intro
by
to
the
way,
it. Because,
Ted,
the thing is, I'm a
you obviously don't
masochist.
watch Gutfeld. Because they discuss the $10 million to Beyonce, and they discuss the
You
million
just missed
dollars to
that segment. You missed it. Hey, Barney, listen, we're gonna let you go and then let Ted go
All
ahead
right,
and
see you later.
respond. Okay,
All right,
Ted, see you.
good to hear from you, Barney.
Yeah. So, do
It's
you even?
nice to know he hasn't changed.
No,
No,
no.
Barney. What about Obama? Do you think? I mean, you know, in our world, we're like happy because this we think is the death knell of Obama, who we think has been the puppet master all along. What do you think? Is this a changing of the guard, or your take on that?
One, he doesn't have strings that's guiding everyone.
He has a
He did.
telephone. He got a
No,
cell
it's this
phone.
is more ephemeral, but I mean, the guy is a thinker. He's a president who actually thought things through. You may disagree with him, but it wasn't happenstance. It wasn't from his hip. It may have been over-lawyered sometimes. I don't think that goes away. I don't think that kind of substance goes away. I do think that this is where, in part, I'll agree with Bernie, and that is. And I'm going to put this condition on. If Trump doesn't go too far and get the crap kicked out of him in the midterms, he survives the midterms, this will be a true shift. Because I think there's been a shift.
Yes.
And you take a look at the appointments that they've had so far. We can sit around and light our hair on fire about Matt Gaetz. We can go, oh my God, Pete Hegseth, how could he run the Department of Defense? But you take a look at, or you, I think, appreciate, read about what Elon's been saying.
Yeah.
And then I can't remember the guy who's working with Elon on the government efficiency thing has been saying.
Vivek Ramaswamy.
Yeah, Vivek. And then what RFK, you know, bluntly, what RFK has said about HHS,
Right.
what Tulsi Gabbard has said about intelligence. And, you know, others, I'm drawing a blank. But there's like real statement around we're going to change, we're going to do our best to change how the government operates. And for any Democrat in my world to say that how we do permitting and procurement works really well is full of shit. They don't know. No, seriously, it's not reality. And the thing about it is we need permitting reform, and the permitting reform works both ways. You think about all of the climate projects that folks want to do in terms of wind power, solar power, EVs. A lot of that is getting stymied just because of the permitting process. The same thing is going to happen if you want to expand oil and gas development. You know, the permitting problem actually permeates everything. And so it's hard for you to look at this and say that there shouldn't be reform. You're going to say there's going to be reform. I mean, these folks, the bureaucrats, slice and dice little words. That's what they do. God bless them. I respect the work. But, you know, at bottom, the federal government is the people. And the people, we should, you know, they should be working with us, not against us.
Do you think the Democrats are going to be able to hear that and adjust to it? I mean, how long? I'm assuming somebody somewhere is going to start beating them about the head and saying, if we ever want to win, we have to. Even if
well,
we have to
I would like to say something. I mean, all these people, including Barney, thinks it's going to last for 1,200 years. I mean, the Hegelian dialectic. There's always a thesis, antithesis, and then he gets...
Yeah, but J.D. Vance is really smooth-talking, comes from that kind of... Because the point, I guess I didn't finish it, that if Trump doesn't like totally screw the pooch, you know, before 26, this will set up something where J.D. Vance could run.
Yeah.
It would be, what, 28? Yeah. In 28. And that could set the Republican Party in the MAGA-ism, Trumpism, without the personality of Trumpism.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think this is all a flash in the pan. I really don't. And
I think we'll divide up just like every other group divides up.
Well, but I have to tell you, there's a great Wall Street Journal article, you know, that kind of divided out all of the never Trumpers, you know, the David French crowd, the Bill Kristol crowd, and they're all friends. But you know, it's a question, where the hell do they go?
Right. Well, we have some ideas.
Well, no, and seriously, I mean, just in terms of conservative thought,
CNN or something,
what that means.
Yeah, I mean,
but there's a John Thune, there's a John Cornyn, there's a whole group of people who really don't like
because you
Trump.
Know John Thune is just a tranny.
He's a tranny. He's a tranny.
Hey, this is funny. Leo says he and Barney are going to run in 2028. Well, so is the Democrat Party. I mean, how do you guys?
I'll tell them I won't give them money, but I'll show up at an event.
Okay. Oh, that'll be a speaker. There you go. Does, and I hope you guys don't figure it out or don't get your act together. But can they do that in 2 years? I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, no, because I think that what Trump may end up doing or his administration may do. Is just overreaching too much. I think a inflection point could be how they deal with immigration. I mean, there's broad agreement that something needs to be done about the border. Too many people are coming over. The criminals that are here need to go. I don't like using the word deport, but that is...
Chuck says send them home.
We have, instead of being deported, it's a send home program.
And this is a big but. This is but in capital letters, in bold, in italics. But they start doing non-criminals, even if they're undocumented, they shouldn't be here. And they say that they're going to take them out. And you do a Stephen Miller approach, as you don't care if families are together or not. This thing will fall around them like a house of cards.
I don't think they're going to.
I think they are going to. And I think if they decline to do it and they take your advice, we've destroyed the country because they brought in, what, 13 million, 15 million?
Well, we don't.
And they're constantly, you take out the few criminals and a couple others and you leave the rest, the Democrats.
So what we want to do, Chuck, is if you're not white, we want to ship you home.
No, we want to ship you home anyway. We want to ship you home to Ukraine. We want to ship you home to Ireland. We want to ship you home anywhere you want to go.
Because, you know, what we ought to do is we should ship them all home. We should have no role in international affairs. We should let authoritarian dictators overtake
the world. No, it should be an endless war.
And
we've got to be in more wars.
Who do you want to invade next?
I want him to tell me where he wants to invade next.
Okay, but first,
which war can we get in now where we can send everybody to?
Well, I tell you, if we follow your approach, we're going to be in a lot of wars because he's authoritarian.
Well, how come your approach gets us in wars and Trump's approach, which is mine, keeps us out of wars?
Okay. What war, as of late, Democrats got us into that Republicans didn't?
Ukraine.
G.W. Bush. We invaded. We invaded the eastern part of Central Europe, thinking the Paul Wolfowitz theory that democracy was going to fall like a bunch of dominoes. And boy, that's great. Why don't we have Iraq, and then there's Gaza.
We
don't have hands.
Here's the thing.
You guys do is want to invade countries.
But Ted, and you're missing.
You've become owned by the military-industrial complex. When I was growing up, and sort of yours, you know, Democrats are anti-war, and now all you are the John Kerry's, let's get another war going, everybody.
Liz Cheney.
She's converted to yours. You've become neocons.
Which was a mistake for Democrats to campaign with her. That was a mistake.
Oh, a mistake.
Well, no, for Democrats, for baseline vote. I mean, you may not like her. You think she's a rhino. She's not a Republican. You and Ross, you guys can all go out and bitch and complain about the Cheneys. But just strategically, from a Democratic point of view, going out and having Adam Kinzinger, having Liz Cheney side by side, hey, this is what it is. And then you do the hair on fire. It's a threat to democracy. It's the end of the world. And these people can't buy eggs or like, how the fuck, why aren't you talking to me? And then the base of Democrats are like, why are you campaigning with this person who used to be in Republican leadership?
Exactly. We hate her.
When you decide to campaign with somebody who's hated by the Republican Party, and the people you could appeal to,
the Democrats,
you could appeal to, you know, find some nice, you know, Republican woman, maybe the one from Kansas whose grandfather is Al Blanton.
Kassenbaum.
He could have gone with Kassenbaum. Alf Linden's granddaughter. He could have gone with them. But none of these.
I worked for her. That was my first job.
Oh, my God.
Nancy Kassenbaum.
If you went out with her, then maybe people go, oh, yeah, that'd be nice. But when you go out with Attila the Hun in tranny mood, it doesn't do any good.
Okay, I'm not following. Who's Attila the Hun?
Yeah, I know. Sometimes Chuck is...
Liz Cheney.
Because she got us into wars.
Got it. She can't ride a horse. She
has the same theory as Attila has. Let's expand and grow and grow and grow and invade.
What about
You know, that's what we've done. Oh, supporting Ukraine means we're invading. Chuck, come on.
There's Gaza.
You know
there's
we're defending you territory. Said, but we're not invading. Weapons on the border of Russia. You think Russia would go, okay. That's an interesting move.
Russia wouldn't say, you're not going to do anything about it? You know what? My front living room can be Poland.
Oh, really?
Let me ask you this.
So Russia's going to invade Poland too, right?
Yes, Russia's going to invade Poland.
Russia's going to invade Poland.
Let me ask you, so we know we got to let you go here, and we've got some other stuff, but you're right, you've hit the problem. How do the Democrats regroup? I mean, how do you find the soul of America? I mean, besides becoming Trump, essentially, and becoming a Republican.
They got to get the tranny dictionary out so everybody follows along and they know exactly the right phrase when which particular subset.
Because you know, with the tranny dictionary, you know that there has to be a certain amount of oil. There's a way that the transmission works.
Yeah.
How does it attach to the engine?
How do you regroup, Ted?
How do you regroup? And not lecture everybody on the politically correct.
Right. You don't label people by an acronym. You know, I think you start with. I mean, in some ways, Bernie Sanders has a lot of wisdom. in terms of talking to the to the working class. We shouldn't follow his policies, but in terms of how you talk to them. And I think the bottom line is this, and I get asked this all the time, how do you fix it? How do you fix it? Is it policy, is it message, and is it structure what you do? It's leadership. It's a question of who are the people that are leading the party.
Yeah.
And it's not like some backbenchers got together and said, oh, we're going to pick this person, we're going to pick that person, kind of like what happened with picking Kamala for being the nominee. But someone who comes up through the process. I mean, I think if you have a leader and you may not like her, I think she's great, Gretchen Whitmer. You may not like him, I think he's great. You have Jared Polis. We have a lot of governors that speak to people, that connect. And that is how we fix the party. Because this is not about I have the right policies or I have the right message. It's I have the right soul. And how does that soul connect with the soul of America? And that is charisma and the right person. And you can be smart, funny, ha, 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 I can dance, I can sing. That's not charisma. Charisma is connecting.
Yeah.
And those kinds of politicians come out. And Bill Clinton is one of them.
Right. I was just thinking.
You know, when he said, I feel your pain, you actually believed it. Well, you may not have, but I did.
No.
If you don't have the policies, then you're Larry Hogan. Yes, you get elected governor of Maryland, but you change nothing. The governor of Vermont is a Republican, and you change nothing.
Well, that's a problem for your party, not
nothing.
A problem for me.
Huh?
That's a problem for your party, not a problem for me.
It's a problem. Why is it our problem?
Well, no, Chuck means that you.
Like
I'm saying,
Republican.
Just getting a person void of anything else doesn't do you any good.
Too,
oh
so.
My God! Gretchen Whitmer changed the nature of politics in Michigan. Jared
well, but doing
but whether
the,
you like him or not,
mapping,
Gavin Newsom did that in California.
And her COVID policies, oh yeah, they were great.
Dr. Dvorkian has a little series of mistakes. Everybody
has. Ted, listen, we got to let you
go. We love having you on. We love having you on.
I can't wait this long. Say hey to Harash for us, okay?
And
I will.
Don't be gone so long.
All right. Bye,
all right.
Ted.
I love you guys. Love you.
You too.
Love
See
you too.
Later. And thank you. And I know we've got like a million comments here we could read. And Sherry, we didn't get your question in, but if you want to bring Sherry on up, we can do that. Sherry, do you have a? We can try to answer it. We could pretend we're Ted. Okay, looks like she dropped. Let's see. I think Leo says good to see Ted again. Yeah, Ted, if you're still listening, everybody loves seeing you on there. I don't think they loved everything you said, but they.
Oh,
but
no, they never do. That's okay.
Okay.
but you know, that's what's great about all this process, though.
Yes.
Is that you get to talk, you get to argue, you can bark and, you know, whatever you want. But we all love each other. We all respect each other.
Yep.
It's empathy. I see where you're coming from. I disagree with it. And the callers that call in, I'm sure they think that I wear red and carry around a sickle and then just a communist. But they know that my heart is in the right place. I know their heart is in the right place.
You're a Trotskyite. You're not a Marxist. You're a Trotskyite. We all love
Trotsky. I mean, it's respecting that. And
no,
I'm all about
true.
It. It's point of my editorial. It's part of my editorial.
Nope, that's true. All right, Ted, hey, thank you so much.
All right, thanks. Sorry, I'll leave now. Sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
It just won't go away. It just
I know.
Go.
I'm looking for that transmission.
Okay.
Just look in the closet. You'll see it in there.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
From Charlene, no, Ted, he's a lot smarter than he comes across. Ted is brilliant. That is why Colorado is blue. We can get right down to it. Hey, tons of stuff to talk about, too, on top of that. And you guys, sorry, we didn't get time to read all your comments. So I do like Leo and Barney. You guys should run just so we could see Ted show up at your event.
Yeah.
You know, that would
be your campaign manager.
So new information on the corrupt Jenna Griswold leaking passwords scandal. So it's like the Colorado Republican Party has to do all the work here. It's like the Denver DA's office, everybody theoretically investigating all of this. And none of them can find out anything except for the Colorado Republican Party. So you remember it was the Colorado Republican Party who revealed that Jenna Griswold had all of the leaked passwords not all the passwords. They weren't leaked. They were deliberately. You can't say
up
it.
On the internet.
Yeah, it's to say, I mean, they didn't magically appear, right? So somebody deliberately put them up there. Now, maybe they didn't know, who knows? But it was, you can't, I mean, they didn't just magically appear on this website, right?
They just.
But and so then everybody freaked out, and then it came out that actually Gina Griswold had known for some time that the passwords were up there, and they didn't do anything about it. And then the Colorado Republican Party also obtained some very fun. So I encourage you to go to the Colorado Republican Party website, cogop.org, and go down to where it says the Zoom call with the clerk and recorder's office. So Chris Beall, who was, I guess, the acting, he's a with the Colorado Secretary of State's office, is trying to explain to a whole bunch of really angry clerk and recorders why no one bothered to tell them that the passwords were up
there. Kingdom,
right. And basically, he says, oh, well, we weren't going to because we feared there'd be like a media firestorm, which that's a good reason.
So we hide things, you know.
Tell anybody. So and so KUSA did this story. Just an aside, KUSA mentioned that they obtained it, but I suspect they obtained it from the Colorado Republican Party website. I mean, so that was a little disingenuous. But if we could, Thomas, please play the KUSA soundbite.
Nine News Investigates has obtained an audio recording where Griswold's chief deputy tells the clerks that they were not going to be told because it would cause a media frenzy. Griswold only notified the clerks and only changed the passwords after that security breach was revealed to the media and the public. That security breach came out 5 days after Griswold's office learned about it when the Colorado Republican Party broke the news and asked for an investigation. The passwords had been inadvertently posted on her website in the hidden tab of a spreadsheet, sitting there for months. Clerks were upset to find out about it through the news. Griswold told me that day that she hadn't decided whether the public was ever going to be told. Nine News Investigates got a hold of an audio recording of Griswold's top deputy speaking to the clerks just minutes after I talked with Griswold that day.
Josh, I appreciate that you're expressing upset. And
I'm
traveling.
Not upset, Chris. I'm pissed off. And it's really hard not answering media questions the way I actually want to.
Okay. I will tell you, all I can do is be as transparent as I possibly can. We were not going to tell counties because we could not tell counties without it becoming the media storm it has become.
It's about Chris.
No, it is not.
Okay, so there you have it. So there, the Secretary of State's office is saying that, okay, so they know those passwords are out there. And keep in mind, they couldn't go fix the passwords or change the passwords without alerting the county clerk. So they had no intention of fixing and changing the passwords either, right? They were just going to leave it all out there. No security, no anything. And they weren't going to tell anybody about it ever because they were afraid they'd get
canceled. Transparency, we want to tell you that we're not transparent. Because we're never going to tell you in the first place. So you can't believe us then, and sure as hell can't believe us now.
Because who knows what we're hiding, because
yeah.
We don't want
to be... We're on a more bigger shitstorm. this is limited fallout, where we're admitting that we put it out there and didn't, you know, we can't say we didn't know about it, so we just didn't want you to be in the situation that you're already in.
That's right. Oh, that's from Charlene Kyle talking tough. Yeah, I think Kyle is part of the Democrat strategy to get rid of Jenna Griswold so she can't be governor. But I mean, that's just incredulous, or it's outrageous. And number one, it's kind of outrageous that initially when that all happened, that none of the county clerk and recorders came out and said, oh, by the way, she was going to try to keep this quiet, right?
Yeah.
So they need to not only investigate how that happened, they need to investigate
all the collection recorders.
They need to investigate the cover-up, too. I'll hear from Leo. Julie, will you be our press secretary? And Chuck, you can be our attorney general. He needs Barney's okay on that. Yes. We can certainly do that. Other good news, though, too. Again, I just like to do this because if you read, you know, any of the Anschutz media, the liberal media, you think that Colorado Republicans did horrible in the election, that there was Colorado's like this blue island of security, right?
Of scumness.
Of scumness, right? Well, it's not true. I mean, we have HD, CD8.
Dave Evans. We took a huge seat away from the Democrat incumbent.
Right. We took CD8, State Board of Education, away too. So that's something interesting about Adams and Weld counties. We took Senate District 13, which prevented the Democrats' dream of having a supermajority in the Senate. And interestingly, last night, they clawed the races for House District 16 and 19. And then you add in the flip from HD 50. All of those seats flipped red, which eliminated eliminates the Democrat supermajority in the House. Now, and what you explain, that's important because that affects what they can ram through and what they can't ram through to a certain extent, right?
Supermajority, they can do whatever they want. And so it's fantastic. And they didn't get the supermajority they wanted in the Senate. Not that's going to slow them down a whole lot.
Well, no.
They don't need a supermajority to get rid of all our rights. But if you have a supermajority, you can change the Constitution, which allows you to go Tabor. Is that still around? No.
No.
We'll get rid of it.
And we'll just implement ranked choice vote. Yeah, that's a good point. It gives them a lot to do that. So there was actually a lot of good that happened. I mean, it wasn't a massive redshift, but it was a significant
131 went down, which would change the entire
and you said
way we vote.
Kamala won, but not by as much, right?
So yeah, she beat Trump by 11 points, which is 2.5 points less than Trump lost to Biden. So all across the board, I mean, was it a red wave? No, but was it a pretty good night, all things considered? Yes, and considering that the establishment Republicans, by trying to throw out the chair, did everything they could to make sure that Colorado had an awful year.
Right.
So Dave Williams couldn't claim electoral victories, and they failed at that too. There's not much they don't fail.
Good for grassroots.
For grassies.
And this from Charlene. Jenna worked for Obama in 2011 as an election attorney. Oh, great. The commie was sent to Colorado out of nowhere and elected to oversee elections. Voila. Well, I think she was a Soros thing, wasn't she? Jenna Griswold was one of those Soros-funded.
I think so. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Soros-funded run. No new heads exploding today from the Dems over Trump picks. It's just so fun to watch. You know, first they're like, oh, Pete Hegseth, and they're all freaking out. And then they're like, oh, Tulsi Gabbard, and they freak it out before they can even finish freaking out.
And then comes the Moab.
That's right. Matt Gaetz. They're like, oh, and then.
Drop the Moab.
Drop the sister Moab. RFK Jr. Like, oh.
Moab.
And then meanwhile, Elon Musk, if you aren't on Twitter, it is kind of fun just to be there, just to see. I mean, the poor beagles in this country, they're just putting out all of this government waste. It's like, this is terrible. They were, I think it was beagles. They were putting marbles up their fannies to see if that caused constipation. I mean, something stupid, millions of dollars going for that. I mean, they were giving them cocaine and see if that bothered them. I mean, the beagle abuse is outrageous in this country. I think, I don't know where PETA is on that. They need to get involved on that.
Cocaine, they can...
Hey, as we're wrapping it up, I did find, this is kind of a funny, a Freedom's Tunes. This is what Revis turned me on to. This is why the young generation is going to save us, because these kids, that they have such a funny, cynical sense of humor. The Freedom Tunes did a thing. They're kind of treating like Kamala losing the election, like breaking up with a boyfriend. And she's saying, I never wanted to do it anyway. So just to wrap it up on Party Friday, Thomas, if we could please play the Freedom Tunes soundbite.
Breaking news, the Harris campaign announces that the election loss was mutual. Harris campaign insiders are reporting that on election night, moments before the final results were called, Kamala Harris told staffers she didn't even really want to be president anymore. According to staffers, moments before Pennsylvania was called, Kamala received a brief phone call. After hanging up, she stood up and said, I just decided I don't want to be president anymore. Even if I won, which I still could at this point, I would say, no, not interested, no thank you. When confused staffers asked her why, she responded, basically, I just don't want to be president. It sounds like something that just isn't right for me right now. I just want the record to show I said this before they called Pennsylvania, I mean, whichever state they call. That's right, Mac. In the aftermath, the Harris campaign has been telling allies and donors that the decision was mutual and that she just didn't click with the American people the way she thought she would. On Thursday, the campaign released a statement saying the spark just wasn't there and America is fun, but I really just don't see a future. That's right. The same statement went on to say, we hope the American people are very happy with what they've done and the direction they've decided to go in. I'm fine. I'll be fine. Sometimes voters still feel a connection with an ex-president. It's fine. You were better together anyway. Everyone always said that. I hope you're happy. Is it because he makes more money? Is that it?
The end of that is a little bit confusing.
Oh, the messaging coming from the campaign has been very confusing. In general, they have been insisting it was mutual and amicable, but yesterday Americans woke up to a flurry of official statements from the Kamala campaign sent at 3 a.m. with statements like, "You literally didn't deserve me, Europe is literally on my side, and you look like an asshole. You said you were done with him, I cannot believe this. Everyone told me you were over your rich felon ex-bad boy with all the money. I'm such an idiot. People said you were literally calling him your president while I was in the White House. I'm sorry if our last couple of statements upset you. I'm sorry. I'm just hurting and hope we can still be friends." And finally, bitch. It's also that the entire campaign got new haircuts. Now, that's right.
It's like she's drunk texting. So there you go. It was mutual. Hey, that is going to wrap it up for us in this Party Friday. Thank you to everybody. Thank you to Ted Trimpa. And I don't know what's coming up. Who knows what Trump's going to do over the weekend, right?
More Moab's coming, baby.
That's right.
We're having Moab Monday.
Oh, I like it. Moab Monday. We'll see you later on Moab
Monday. Take care, everybody.